This week's parsha is Parshas Truma. So obviously the parsha discusses all the raw material that were used in the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And one of the material were the Atze Shittim, were the Shittim wood. And Rashi comes and bavorns, he anticipates a question. Umeayin hayu lahem bamidbar. From where did they, Am Yisrael, have Shittim wood in the Midbar, in the wilderness? Perish Rabbi Tanchuma explains, Yaakov Avinu tzapa beruach hakodesh. Yaakov Avinu foresaw with divine inspiration, she'asidin Yisrael livnos mishkan bamidbar, that Yisrael was destined to build a mishkan in the midbar. Vehevi arazim lemitzrayim unitam, and he brought shittim trees to Mitzrayim, and he planted them there. Vitziva lebanav, and he commanded his sons to take them when they would leave Mitzrayim. Rashi comes and tells us ultimately where they got the shittim. It was from Yaakov Avinu planting them in Mitzrayim and commanding his children when they leave Mitzrayim to take these ingredients with them. Though it begs the question, where did Yaakov get the arazim? Where did he get the shittim wood to ultimately have Bnei Yisrael leave with this wood when they left Mitzrayim? So the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayigash tells us that Yisrael traveled on his way to Mitzrayim. He stopped off at Be'er Sheva. And the Medrash comes and deals with why was it necessary for him to stop off at Be'er Sheva on his way to Mitzrayim. So Amar Rav Nachman says, Shehalach Lokutz Arazim Shenata Avraham Zakenu Be'er Sheva. He went to chop down the Arazim, the cedar trees, that Avram Avinu had planted in Be'er Sheva. Why was it necessary for Yaakov Avinu to travel to Be'er Sheva? Why couldn't he just take any cedar, any wood? Why did he have to make this detour? Keep in mind, he hadn't seen his son for all these years. He was excited. He was looking forward to coming and reuniting with his beloved son, Yosef. But instead, he stops off at Be'er Sheva, has to cut the arazim of Be'er Sheva, and make his way to Mitzrayim. Couldn't he have taken any cedar? Why specifically that cedar? Question number two. The beginning of the parsha discusses Klal Yisrael making donations for the building of the Mishkan. As the Pasuk tells us, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, V'yichuli truma me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tichu es trumasi. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, and they shall take for me a portion, a truma, from every man whose heart will motivate him, tichu es trumasi, you shall take my truma, my portion. This is not compulsory. This is not an obligation that was incumbent upon B'nai Yisrael. This was Me'es Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo. Whoever has the desire to give should participate in the construction of the Mishkan. And if that's the case, then it's not an obligation. Why spend psukim telling us v'yichuli truma, take truma, take a portion, make a donation? Just tell us what's going to be built. Tell us the finished product. Let me explain. In Parshas Ki Sisa, the Torah tells us the parsha, the idea, the topic of Machatzis HaShekel. Machatzis HaShekel was obligatory upon each Jew. He has to give a half shekel. That half shekel was used to cover the cost of the communal karbanos. It was necessary for every member of Klal Yisrael to donate that half shekel. And therefore, because it is a chov, it is an obligation, Klal Yisrael is obligated to partake in this donation. The Torah will come and tell us psukim, explaining the idea of the machatzis hashekel. It's necessary. But why, when it comes to donating for the Mishkan, why is it necessary to give us a preamble, an introduction, that there was a donation, there was someone going around with a hat asking for donations? The Torah doesn't waste words. It's almost as if there's a connection between the truma, the donation, the giving of the kesev, the zahav, and all the raw materials with the construction of the Mishkan, or perhaps not. We have to look a little bit deeper into trying to understand why it was necessary for the Torah to mention something which is not an obligation, but rather it's Me'es Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo. And question number three. While we're speaking about donation and building the Mishkan, it seems as if the order of the Torah is incorrect. Let me explain. I had the great fortune of going with my Rosh Hashiva 25, 30 years ago on a fundraising trip. I was in Miami, and he came down to Miami, and we would go to different people's homes. The Rosh Hashiva sits down at the Balabos's house and his table, and he takes out a brochure, and he tells him about all of the comings and goings of the yeshiva, all the various shiurim and the classes, and the rebbeim, and the Talmidim, and that our Talmidim become pillars of their respective communities, they become communal leaders. And the person is very excited. And when the Rosh Yeshiva feels that he has connected with this person, and now the person feels connected to the institution or the organization, then the Rosh Yeshiva went and asked for a donation. That's 101 fundraising. You don't just come in and tell a person who doesn't know the first thing about your institution, organization, your project, by the way, I need $10,000. And now let me tell you what it is that I'm asking $10,000 for. It doesn't make sense. But that's what happens in this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us, V'yichuli truma me'ez kolish asher yidvenu libo. Give a donation. Give your kesev, your zahav, your gold, your silver, your copper, your wool, the goat's hair, the avnei shom, the avnei miluim, precious jewels. Give the money. Oh, by the way, v'asu li migdash v'shochanti b'socham, that money is going to go for the building of the Mishkan. First, you come, you sit by a person, you tell him that there's going to be this unbelievable edifice, this structure, this Mishkan like the world has never seen before. This is what is involved. These are the rooms. This is the picture. This is how it's going to be. This is the rendering. This is the drawing. Person becomes very excited. Now, sir, I need this from you. I need your gold. I need your silver. I need your wool. I need your precious stones to make it a reality. That's the way fundraising works. But yet in this week's Parsha, first, Moshe Rabbeinu comes in for the kill. He asks for people's money. And then he tells them what the project is for. Very difficult to understand. In order to answer this question, we have to go to last week's Parsha. At the end of last week's Parsha, the Torah tells us, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, and he took this Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant, Vayikra Bo'aznei Ha'am, Vayomru, and they said, Klal Yisrael said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, all that Hashem had spoken, Na'aseh V'nishma, we will do and we will learn. This is, as we had spoken in the past, this is Klal Yisrael's rallying cry to accepting the Torah, the yoke of mitzvos upon themselves. Unlike all the other nations of the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the various nations of the world and asking them to accept the Torah, he went to one nation and they said, what's in it? And he said, you're not allowed to kill. Well, we have to kill. That's our grandfather, our ancestor killed. And the other nation came and asked, what's in it? And he said, you can't have any type of immoral behavior. But we were born from that immorality. And then the other nation, what's in it? Can't steal, but our grandfather stole. And comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael, and they don't ask what is in the Torah. Rather, they call out, Na'aseh V'nishma. We're going to do it, and then we'll learn about the mitzvos. We'll learn what's in the Torah. Klal Yisrael reached unprecedented heights with that calling out of Na'aseh V'nishma. But the reality is, those words were nothing other than words. And Chazal teach us, Ein HaMidrash HaIkar Ela HaMaisa. That Midrash, that words are not the Iker. That's not the main thing. But rather Maisa, action is the Iker. When Klal Yisrael uttered those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't only looking for them to unconditionally accept the concept of Torah, but he wanted those words to permeate every aspect of their fulfillment of mitzvos. There's nothing more difficult than a person working really, really hard. Then to be told that he has to come and take his hard-earned money and give it away. Legabe ha'ashir kasha alav. It's hard for an ashir, a wealthy person, to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because this person got up really early in the morning. And it was his idea to start the business. And it's he who worked tirelessly to ensure the company's success. It's mine. It's all mine. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me to give away my money? Let me hear, what is it that I'm giving my money to? Let me see if it makes sense to me. Let me see if the project resonates with me. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think I'm going to give my money, forget about it. That's the first nisayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see if Am Yisrael was really on the level of Na'aseh V'Nishma, of first doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see whether it was just hollow words that they called out. Oh, sure, we're going to accept the Torah and then we're going to hear what the Torah is about. That was an exalted level. But that level has to come into the way that we fulfill the mitzvos themselves. It's not only a rallying cry on the concept of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but every single mitzvah that Klal Yisrael does has to be with the mindset, with the focus of Na'aseh V'Nishma. We're going to do. We're going to keep the mitzvos because Moshe Rabbeinu told us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give away your hard-earned money. That's why the Torah first tells us, V'yichru li truma, give me your money. That's Na'aseh. Then, V'asu li migdash. V'shachanti b'socham, then nishma, then I'll tell you where your money is going. But if you want to be that exalted Jew, a Jew who lives his life on that exalted status of Na'aseh v'nishma, every mitzvah has to be in a way where we do it without any type of cheshbon, any type of calculation. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh in this week's Parsha says that all of the raw materials, and I've quoted this in the past, all the raw materials that were given for the construction of the tabernacle of the Mishkan, it lists the raw materials in order of value. First comes kesef, First comes zahav, gold, then kesef, then silver, then nechoshes, then copper, and then all the various wool and so forth and so on. But the last two ingredients that are mentioned are Avnei Shoham and the Avnei Miluim. And the Mefarshim grapple with why are those listed last? They should be listed first. They're more precious than Zahav. And he explains, because the Nesiim came to Klal Yisrael, the tribal leaders, the princes, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they came to the people and said, you take care of everything, and whatever is left over, we'll take care of. And ultimately, what was left was Avnei Shoham and Avnei Miluim. But because they made a cheshbon, they made a calculation, they started pondering, when should we give? How should we give? It wasn't with alacrity. But instead, they reversed the order. It was first Nishma, then Naseh. They failed the test. And that's why it's listed last. The reason why I believe the Torah says it first, give, is to show Hashem that we are Naseh b'Nishma type of Jews. Even our hard-earned money, we're willing to get rid of. Which begs the question. How does a rich person, or any person that has money, how does he part with his money? How does he get rid of it? How does he give? Why is it that it's so much more difficult to be an usher, to be a wealthy man, than to be an ani, a poor man? How can a rich person train himself to open up his hand and give generously? So I want to share with you the words of the Sforno. The Sforno in Sefer Vayikra comes and gives us the background, tells us why it was necessary to build the Mishkan in the first place. The Sforno writes, Ki kodem l'cheita egel, that indeed before the sin of the golden calf, lo haya kol tzorech b'mishkan, there was no need for the building of the Mishkan, asher hu makom hamiyuchad, a place which is specific for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Shechein al osa tekufa, asher kadma le'egel, originally before the chet ha'egel, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, b'chol makom asher askir eshemi, avoy lechu v'rachticha. I'm going to be everywhere. You're going to be able to find me in any place. Hareshakol hamikomos, every place was hukshuru, was fit and prepared to serve Hashem. We didn't need, says the Sforno, one specific place. Aval la'acher chet ha'egel, but after the sin of the golden calf, mishenistakla hashchina, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was removed, Hayatzorech behegdeshas makom miyuchar. Hayatzorech, there needed to be a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, His Kedusha, is felt. Where Klal Yisrael can come and feel connected to the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'asuli migdash, make for me a migdash, v'shachanti b'socham. Make for me a migdash, and I will reside b'socham. What the Sforno HaKadosh is teaching us is that the Mishkan is a kli, is a utensil to house HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Mishkan was a place which kept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place where people can come and draw inspiration from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan was that makom, was that place that kept contained HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Mishkan was a place that acted as a kli kibul, as a place to accept Hashem's glory. And that's what every person has to understand. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us B'chol dor v'ador, in every generation, a person has to make himself a Mishkan. He has to become a Mishkan. A person has to realize that just as the Mishkan is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu contains himself and puts himself, and the Mishkan is just doing the bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in this world, so too, every man has to realize that he's a kli kibul. He is a place. He is his own individual Mishkan where HaKadosh Baruch Hu places his presence and his glory and his brachos in this world. And once we realize that we are our Mishkan, and just as the Mishkan housed the glory of Hashem and all of its brachos, so too we are a Mishkan as well. And we have to understand and appreciate that all of the brachos that we have, we're simply safeguarding them for the Almighty. We become God's place where He sends His brachos. And just like the Mishkan was used as a place that would inspire Klal Yisrael, that would atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael, that would allow Klal Yisrael to feel a sense of Kedusha, so too every single person that was bestowed blessing and wealth and generosity, all he is a makom where Klal Yisrael can come and receive God's brachos. I act as an emissary to give and to achieve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world that just gives blessing and hope and prosperity to mankind. So if an usher, if a person views himself as this is my money that God gave to me, but doesn't view himself as a Mishkan that dispenses good and kindness and blessing to the world, then it will be very difficult for him to give. But if he realizes that he simply is a kli, he's a safeguard, he's there to protect God's word in this world and give the money and give the blessing, then of course he's going to give, because I'm a messenger. I'm an Eved. Mashakona Eved Kona, Mashakona Rabbo, Mashakona Eved Kona Rabbo. That which an Eved, it really belongs to the master, and I'm simply doing what he's telling me to do. We are here to safeguard God's blessing in the world. And that's why the Torah tells us about donating. Even though it isn't compulsory, It's not like the machasis hashekel. But giving and donating is so connected to the Mishkan. Because we are our own private individual Mishkan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in us and tells us that we have to safeguard His blessing and dispense His blessings. That's why the Torah, it's so important that the Torah mentions something that isn't an obligation, because it's so fundamental as Jews. It's so connected to the building of the Mishkan and the Mishkan itself. We are a Mishkan. We give because God gives. We are God's manifestation in this world. We are safeguarding His message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a no-saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives. We are a no-saying. We give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate. We're compassionate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind. We, in turn, are kind as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation is not only in the Mishkan, but it's within each and every one of us. And donating is simply a manifestation of the Mishkan, of God in this world. We are God's manifestation in this world. We are an Or LaGoyim. See, but Yaakov Avinu understood that not only are we God's manifestation in this world, we are a manifestation, and we are safeguarding our parents and grandparents' Mesorah. We safeguard our parents' traditions. The Mishkan is a place of safeguarding. Yaakov Avinu indeed could have gotten other arazim. He could have cut other wood, other trees, and taking them down with him to Mitzrayim. But the Medrash told us that it wasn't any trees. They were Avram Zakenu, his grandfather's trees. He was safeguarding the Mesorah of his grandfather. Avram Avinu planted those trees. Those were the Eshel trees. Those were the trees that were used to serve food and to protect and to lodge and to house and to feed Orchim, guests. Yaakov Avinu was safeguarding the Mesorah, the teachings of his illustrious grandfather. Because that's what the Mishkan is all about. It's about safeguarding. It's about being a protector. It's about actualizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and also our very, very sacred Mesorah that was passed down from Yitzchak and Avram and then to their children and grandchildren, to Bnei Yisrael. And that's why, specifically, he had to go. Because the Mishkan is the paradigm of being a shomer, of doing shmirah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and being a shomer for our Mesorah in this world as well. All source of bracha comes from generations and generations before us. So our first question was, why did Yaakov Avinu have to go? Because he understood that he was a shomer for his Mesorah. And that is precisely the reason why the Torah has to tell us about giving in the first place. Because we're a shomer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We're His watch person in this world. We're the ones who carry out His will and His mission.
Ultimately, the reason why it mentions first Truma is because being a Shomer means being a Shomer unconditionally, is doing the will of our master. That's what an Eved does. That's what a child does. He carries out the will of his Adon, of his Av, unconditionally. And Mirtz Hashem, we should continue to be unconditional Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.